Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Purposefully further away from you.
Have you?
Yeah, I feel
right.
Like
well,
I'm
I won't set up the chairs again then if there's going to be a problem.
No,
Christ, you try
problem,
and help.
Honestly.
How are you today, dear? I see you're in-law. Well,
in-laws? How?
Nearly
what,
in-laws?
What is that? I don't know what the terminology is. My future son-in-law's parents are in the audience.
Right, okay. Now, for the people listening at home, we have two future in-laws of JoJo's.
Yes.
We have Lenka, who's not paid enough to get Yeezys, and I'll deal with your employer later, Lenka, because I think that's a disgrace. And we've got two of our guests.
Yeah.
When another one who was yes. late mm-hmm. for, I mean, he'd be as well being dead because he should be called the late Patrick Monaghan.
He should be called the late
he
Patrick
He just has
Morgan.
No respect for society
no.
or other people or
time.
Anything. And do you know what? Even the payoff's not that bit. Actually, I'm not allowing him on. There, I've said
oh,
it.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay,
no,
we've boycotted
him.
Patrick Monaghan and we haven't even started the show. I love that. We do want him on because I have an inside story, an inside scoop on Patrick Monaghan. So.
Well, he was there the night the transport police tried to jail me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so, you know, is your scoop as good as that? No, I didn't think so.
Yeah.
And he's still pulled from the show. I hate him.
Has he? He's not pulled from the show.
Yeah,
oh,
just pulled
you've pulled
I've
him,
just pulled
sorry.
Him. How are you at the beginning of the week? Are you okay? You're
I'm
looking
right.
well? You
I'm
seem
looking
fresh?
Very
you
well,
feel breezy?
Fresh,
good.
Yes. Well slept, well fed, well read.
Well, absolutely, because you read your bag from Greg's that said, this is the cheese and onion pasty you're
yeah.
about to consume. So, yeah, you're technically Gillian McKeith, Nigella Lawson, and Rick Stein, and Ina. Do you guys know Ina Vagina, Ina Garten, the barefoot Contessa? That lives, so it's a fat woman, because it's always fat women with me. She lives in the Hamptons with Jeffrey, her husband, and we all know what Jeffrey likes.
Oh.
Cock. And Ina's hysterical, because she always goes like that, I'm going to put a cup of half and half in that, and then some Parmesan, and then some real butter. How good is that? And you're like, Ina, why aren't you dead?
I hate it when people can't pronounce things properly. It really irritates
really,
me.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hate when people say unprecedented, when it's unprecedented. That's disgusting,
yeah.
Not naming names.
No, it's just a habit that people get into. That
it's fairly
wrong.
Bad, isn't it?
I mean, it's the old tomato, but not as bad as that. Well, worse than that. Sorry.
Well, indeed. Because English is your baby.
Juice.
You're drinking orange juice, so I hope it stays in for the next 50 minutes. That's why I wouldn't drink orange juice in a live performance environment for fear of it shuttling out on a toboggan run.
A projectile vomit.
I suppose all that hideous pastry and snot-type cheese filling will hold it for a while.
Yes, it'll anchor it.
Yes, it will anchor it. It's a bit like the cuisine equivalent of a Dutch cap. Nothing's coming out. Nothing's going in.
I know, Dad.
No. Are we looking for love this week?
Oh, if it turns up, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. If it turns up and can stay hard, you'll jump on it.
Although, unless it's got its own room, I can't be arsed taking it back to South Queensbury. So.
Oh.
You're not listening to this, so you'll have to remember to use it.
Actually mean a room? I thought you meant cut or uncut. Okay, we'll move on. I thought, we'll deal with that later.
What?
We'll deal with that later. She doesn't think.
I don't
that's
think.
The thing.
This is the problem sometimes when my brain's not functioning.
Now, that seems to have been a theme since Thursday, since we've begun a non-functioning brain.
Do you know what I think it is? It's because I'm on stage every day talking about growing older. I think I'm actually,
do you think
I'm giving old age to myself.
So you think it's a self-fulfilling prophecy?
Yes.
You've technically licked the envelope of destiny.
Excuse me, putting it. I keep talking about onset of dementia, and I think I've given him. I think it's catching.
Oh, Christ.
I think I've caught dementia.
Very briefly, I'm going back to another show. How was Alistair Barry in the car on Saturday?
I saw him last night and told him, we talked about him and said we were going to call him the Alistair Barry podcast.
Should we get him on?
Absolutely, we should get him on, 100%. And then he immediately said, was Bruce being rude about me? And I went, of course not.
No. Right.
So rude.
Good then, that's good. Now, shall we have some guests?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. We've got a transatlantic vibe today. I'm very
excited. I overheard that they already know each other and they met in either Nashville or New York.
I know. It's one like the Taylor Swift fan club, the Swifties.
Yeah.
On acid. And Taylor's in a lot of trouble because she keeps getting a plane from her house to like the American equivalent of the Lidl. She's going to the Whole Foods. Yeah, but she's only on the plane for like 12 minutes. I'd love that amount of money.
I'd
get a chopper from Granton Harbour to the Granton Lidl, and I'd demand everyone was flushed out so I could buy their deluxe piccolo tomatoes.
You won't necessarily know South Queensbury where I live. Well, you do. So I used to live just under the bridge.
It's kind of like the Hamptons if it had gone through nuclear war.
But I used to live under the bridge.
As what? A troll?
No, a troll under the bridge.
Clip, clop.
And the high street bit was
Billy
closed.
Billy Groat's muff.
I used to drive up to the road close sign and then park there and then and then go to the shops because I couldn't be arse walking. I'd drive.
Why were you living
yards.
Under the bridge? Were you in a house? You weren't like that woman who was in the field.
No, I wasn't. No, it was a house that was built under the bridge.
It was a house under the bridge. Was that not noisy with locomotives?
Very.
Very noisy.
But
indeed.
One of those things, actually, strangely, like aeroplanes, if you live in places like that, you suddenly don't notice it after a while.
Especially when at that period, I presume you'd given up on life and you were just going through the motions.
Absolutely. Three children under five and no hope.
Oh, wow. Right, we'll move on. Let's have our first guest. It's just, I don't want to fall asleep just yet. Sam Morrison, can we invite you up? Give him a round of applause. Hello, Sam. I'm enjoying your blouse.
Hello, Sam. Lovely to meet you.
Hi.
This is a first for me.
And another of our guests that have chosen to wear ochre. There's been three people, a rapacious author, half of Norris and Parker, she had on ochre culottes, and you're wearing this, it's almost a braille blouse. Because there's texture, isn't it?
Mm. Let me feel you.
It's the blouse of monkeypox.
Oh!
Oh, I'm off for my vaccine later. Oh, my God. When does life become art? How fabulous. And you're very hairy as well. Yes, enjoying it all. How are you, Sammy? All right?
Clearly not. I don't know what we're It's just, I mean, I don't know if you knew what to expect. I'd say expect nothing, Sam. Just,
just talk.
Yeah.
Just reply.
Well, I'm trying.
How are you? How are you?
I am overwhelmed. How are you?
I feel that way quite a lot. Where did the monkeypox blouse come from?
Well, I was at the Dick Dock in Provincetown.
Ah.
And no, I got it. Well, I got it at a clothing swap. Do you know what one of those are?
Yeah.
No, she does, because she's below the bread line.
Yeah, I love a clothing swap.
Under the bridge, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where they happen.
Yeah.
No, a bunch of people bring their old clothes together, and then we swap them. And this one was fantastic, because it was 500 women in Brooklyn, and there weren't any men allowed. But then I came in and was like, hey, can I come? And they were like, yeah, that's fine. So I came in and took all their old clothes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So this is another comedian's. I don't know who, but probably someone with monkeypox.
What does the blouse look like?
What does the blouse look like? Which comedian?
Yeah, I'm going to try and identify the comedian.
Perfect. This is good for a podcast.
Absolutely. Mm. It's all to make people think.
Yeah.
And try and encourage them to come in.
And watch, yes.
Because as you can see, they're all at home flicking their beans.
No,
so.
This is a full... Is that your audience? Just lonely, masturbatory people?
I think, but there's a lot of people due to the cost of living crisis who are living on delusion and masturbation alone. And not even a cup of noodles.
Apparently everyone's gone back to cash because of the cost of living crisis and so that they can keep an eye on the pennies that they're spending.
Goodness, that was left field, wasn't it?
It's informative sometimes, this podcast.
Are you packing cash on this trip?
That sounds like something someone would ask me on Grindr or something, right? Are you packing cash? No, I'm a bottom. I don't know. I do have cash, and I just found out it's outdated, actually.
Outdated cash?
Yeah, I tried to use it, and then they were like, we don't use that anymore, because I had it from 2019, because I'm so responsible and don't have undiagnosed ADHD dad. So I had that money, and then I kept it for 3 years, and I brought it back, and they were like, it's no longer welcome.
Nice.
Is that because it's paper and not plastic?
I think so. I mean, and you would know.
This is the other interesting thing. Sorry, I'm just thinking of things today. You know how we're trying to get rid of plastic? Why are we making notes out of plastic now instead of paper? Mm. Surely paper was more biodegradable than plastic.
Let's save climate change tonight.
My God, you know, I know Greta, and I have her on speed dial, because I had to shield her from something today. It was a paper straw in a plastic bag. She was going off her head. I said, Greta, just calm down, blah, blah, blah. And then she fell back asleep. I do believe that her aims are admirable, but I just think, oh, Hen, why don't you have a fucking life? Seriously.
Well, I'm sure she gets tons of pussy.
Do you think she's into that?
A lesbian?
Was that a weird thing to say?
No.
We can edit that out, right?
Please. No, we can't. If you don't want to broadcast, don't say it. Go straight out. No, we don't edit anything, mate. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the best fun.
No, so, this is worth ruining my career.
Absolutely.
Honestly.
100%.
This is such a joy.
This is why we do it.
Yeah.
Just to bring everybody down because we're bitter.
Yeah. No. Well, you might be.
No, I've decided to become a serious journalist now. That's why I'm asking, saying intelligent observations.
Sorry, can I just go back to Greta and what she likes to dine on? I didn't necessarily get a lesbian vibe, but I found her to be very asexual.
No comment?
Oh, look, don't look at... The bear is hardly a fucking bastion of morality at the door, so don't look at him as
What'd
though you
call
got
him?
The bear?
Mm. Like gay bears?
Mm.
Well, are you blind? What the fuck do you think that is?
Well, it's just weird. It's like me pointing at someone else and being like, the tall gay comedian.
Oh, he didn't turn up. He must be late. Lenka, can you put in a call? I think that's our last guest. I'm only joking, Lenka. You have to relax. She's very upset because she can't get the right shoes. Now, you discuss daddy issues. Your show's called Daddy Issues.
Yeah.
Why do you have them?
No. Sorry. This show's not called Daddy Issues.
Is it not? Do you discuss daddy issues in the show?
No.
You don't?
No.
Nathan, you're fired.
Nathan!
The fucking bear.
The fucking bear.
But
would you not identify as a bear? That's what I was trying to get at earlier.
No.
Okay.
No, it seems too easy. I won't do it.
Me neither.
No, I'm a Greta sympathizer.
So, Sam, if you don't have a show about daddy's issues and it's not called Daddy Issues, who's
daddy in the thing. Thank you. My God, it's a Monday. Sam, you're being very provoking. Sugar daddy. Do you have a sugar daddy?
No.
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 Do you know why? Because a sugar daddy wouldn't have let you out in that monkeypox blouse. No. He would have said, fucking behave.
I get so many compliments on this. It's a nice
color.
The woman told me she got it for $3.
Oh, and how wow, much you're
did you,
really
you
interested.
You just swapped it. Yes, absolutely. But you just swapped it, so you got it for nothing.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're the winner.
I am the winner.
Oh, no, so, yes, sugar daddy.
Sugar daddy.
Sugar daddy.
Sugar daddy.
Do you want one? Do you have one?
No, I don't have one. I don't want one. It's a... God, the problem with this fucking show title,
You're misleading people, Sam. You're misleading people.
Because I'm misleading people. Yeah. Everyone comes and is like, oh, I want to see a show about a sugar daddy. And it's like, no, it's actually a pun in the show based off because I have type 1 diabetes and then my partner died. And then so it kind of connects the two things. And they're like, okay, I'm going to go. Thank you so much for attempting to talk to me about it. But no.
Oh,
it's,
wow. How did your partner die?
Let's get into that.
Yeah.
COVID.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay. No. Don't. No. No. What are we? I can ask questions. I'm not a lunatic. Jesus Christ. So, how old was he, and what happened?
He got COVID. He was 52.
Oh, so he was a sugar daddy.
No, he was not a sugar daddy. All right, we were very much in love.
Oh.
Yeah.
You can be in love with a sugar daddy.
So he wasn't a sugar daddy. We've had that three times now. So Sam, anyway, Dr. Martens, nice. Are they comfortable?
what's happening? Is this a trap?
No, it's not a trap.
Not at all.
Anyway, you talk of the death of your partner.
Yeah, I do.
And he succumbed to COVID. Were there any underlying health conditions or any of that kind of stuff?
No.
Just gone from that. And how recent was that?
February 2021.
Wow.
Yeah.
And why did you decide to do that in a show? Because obviously that's incredibly personal.
Yeah.
And not everyone would do it. And it's totally up to the individual. But do you not find that? I have a friend who does a collection for her sister that passed. Mm. And every night they're raising money for cancer and all this kind of mm-hmm. stuff. And although I think that that's great, I just wondered about the healing process because mm. I'm not saying that you have to forget about people or anything like that, but it's to kind of compartmentalize it.
Mm.
So if you're living through that again for 27 nights, for argument's sake.
Yeah, no, it's like...
You don't find it like that.
It's not about his death. It's not a sad show. I get to talk about Jonathan and I get to share Jonathan with people.
Nice.
And that honestly is precious for me. I love doing that. And I also, like, I tried doing other comedy, and it just felt crazy. Like, okay. You know, you write what you think about, yeah. right? And you talk about what you think about.
And what you're going through in that situation, if you ignore it, then you're lying to yourself.
Something like that is so all-encompassing that if you go up there and just talk about, I don't know, how annoying tops are, then it's like it's not going to... It just felt insane for me.
And well, did.
I did that for a long time, by the way. I only started doing this kind of material like 6 or 7 months ago.
Oh, wow.
And then my favorite word, which is disingenuous. It would feel disingenuous if you went on stage and didn't talk about him because it's been such a huge thing.
Why is that your favorite word?
Because so many people are...
Because I am.
No, because so many people are disingenuous.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it frustrates the hell out of me.
Yeah.
That people don't actually open up and talk about and see what they actually mean. And they, you know, so... Yeah, I think it's
right.
I think it's better comedy as well.
Yeah,
if you're talking
also,
about in the moment, do you know what I mean? We live in the moment and we kind of repackage it and present it back out again.
Yeah, exactly.
And it can be very powerful and very cathartic.
It absolutely is. I mean, it has helped me so much being able to talk about it on stage because I'm not as good at talking about it off stage, but I can really do it on stage because, you know.
And the sugar, so did you say you were diabetic?
Mm.
Are you type 1, type 2?
Type 1.
So what age were you? Because my best friend, actually, who's sadly no longer here, was type 1 and was diagnosed when she was 13 and had diabetes for well over 50 years, which is quite extraordinary to have it for that length of time.
Yeah.
So how old were you when you found out you had it?
I got it almost exactly a year ago.
Wow.
I know, so I was 26. And it's usually people are diagnosed when they're younger, but a lot of people get diagnosed in their 20s.
Yeah.
And it's, I think technically there's a term like late onset juvenile diabetes, but I got diabetes. And that's also so funny, you know?
Well, the Sugar Sisters, they had diabetes, didn't
that's
they?
That's correct, yeah. And do you have one of those things on your arm now that you can?
Oh, yeah. I got one of the things in my arm. I got another one on my back.
Okay.
I got the glucose monitor and the pump, motherfucker.
It's like you are cupping.
I know.
Like I'm what?
Cupping. You know
cupping
when people
who?
Get all the... No. You know Gwyneth Paltrow gets cupping. I don't think anyone cups
her.
No, because I think like her candle, her hoo-ha could go up at any given moment. But so you've got one of those permanent polo mints on.
Yes, permanent polo mints.
Yes.
Although I'm very good if I see... I know I can recognise someone having a high
drink
poke.
Your juice, Shelby.
No, take a Lucozade or have a little Snickers if you're having a hypo. I know what to do.
Exactly, having a hypo. Girl, you know.
I do know, sister.
Oh my God. See, the funny thing is when type 1 diabetics get together, it's a fucking party. Mm. Like, there are no fans I have that are as rabid as type 1. I've been doing, like, vulnerable queer comedy for, like, 5 years now. But now I see a type 1 diabetic in the crowd. They're like, what brand of insulin do you have? Tell me everything. They're so excited.
Yeah, is it a bonding thing?
Is it a what?
A bonding experience.
It's very bonding.
Very bonding.
It's very affirming.
Very bonding. Where do you have to watch your alcohol intake?
Oh, yeah.
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 And the times
alcohol
that you eat.
Alcohol makes you go low. So now what I have to do is I just have to have very sugary drinks. Oh, no.
Ah, sugary mixer.
A sugary mixer, apple cider, anything.
Oh, wow. Mm. 9 bottles of wine. There's a lot of sugar in that.
A lot of sugar and wine.
Yeah.
Basically just can't have vodka soda.
Oh, well, yeah. That's fair enough. You're not missing anything. Get into gin. It's so much nicer. Yeah. Is this your first Edinburgh?
No, I did it in 2019 with a show called Hello, Daddy.
Oh, that's very similar. Only five years late with the research.
I don't have daddy issues. Where did you get daddy issues?
Well, clearly you do because you keep putting daddy in the title.
No, I don't. That's the point. Is I fuck older guys. I'm attracted to gray hairs and big bellies, and it's not about my fucking dad.
Oh.
I know. Did you see how defensive I got?
Oh. Yeah.
Girl, you I have to relax.
I think there's a lot to unpack here.
Oh, of course. Two solo shows worth of material,
I think we're denying daddy issues. I think that is the root of the problem here.
Great. Let's get into it right now.
Oh, my God. Dr. Ruth is in session.
Is your father still alive?
Yeah.
Good. No further questions.
No further questions. Fantastic.
Oh, look, he's flashing as I can't bear it.
Yeah, that was the gayest little flash I've ever seen.
Well, I barely have a question, then. I barely started on him.
I don't think he wants you to start on him, in all honesty. If you have another sensible question, ask him.
No.
You don't? Right, okay.
Well, I did have a sense. No, I don't. No, I did. Where is your show on?
At Gilded Balloon at 6:20.
Okay, which room?
Balcony room.
Balcony,
in, it's Gilda
nice.
Balloon, the TV-it.
Yes.
Heavy-it. TV-it?
I'm there as well.
Because you're there as
I'm in the sportsman's.
Oh. So yeah.
She's near the gents' toilets.
4:45.
Oh, so well, I'll see you as I get out of my show one of these days.
Absolutely. I'll be in the bar. Always.
I'm sure we have the... Are you also going for daddy bears and type 1 diabetics?
Oh, I'm going for
because
anything
we are
that
competing.
Moves at the moment.
Yeah, I know.
She actually just wants set on fire and pumped.
Yeah. Why do I want set on fire?
Just to save you having to go out for a cigarette all the time. You just set fire to yourself and inhale. I've said that in 2 days on the trot now and I stand by it. Mm-hmm. It's going to be... Actually, are you here until the end of the month?
Yeah, oh
it's just Bear Scotts is going to be on.
No, when's that? What is that?
That's
I'm
a load
already.
Of bears in one room.
When?
The 29th
of
August.
Off. It's
the 29th?
I fly out at like 6 a.m. the next morning. Are you playing me off?
Yeah. Oh my God.
You got my title wrong.
Oh, she got everything wrong. Do you know something? Do not have sex with her.
No.
That's her punishment.
Oh, no.
Sam, thank you so much. Can we have a round of applause?
Thank you for having me.
Thank you
what
so
a lovely,
much.
Borderline traumatizing talk.
Oh, lovely.
Go. Lovely,
well,
lovely,
that's
lovely.
That's a nice review, isn't it? A borderline traumatization.
I don't think that's what we're really going for, Jojo. I think we'll discuss this in the meeting post-show about technique. Now, are we ready for our next guest?
Oh, we certainly are,
now,
indeed.
I can't pronounce her surname, so I'm not going to insult her, but it's Anya. I want a huge round of applause.
Yay!
There we go. Come on, dear. Hello.
Hugging her way to the stage. Hello, darling. We meet...
I think he did that as a protest.
I think it was.
I think it was a dirty protest extending the thing.
A standing taller.
How do you pronounce your surname? Because I hate when people get mine wrong, so I didn't attempt to pronounce
yours. That's okay. Aaliyah Kanani.
Kanani. Yeah. Oh, like cannoli.
I'm so happy you said that, not the other word it rhymes with.
Well, I'm dyslexic, so I go for things I recognize. Don't fucking judge me, bitch, because you'll cry. How are you?
I'm good.
Are you all right? Because we've been talking about salsa, 4 a.m. leftover reheats.
Mm-hmm. So much.
Lovely stuff. So are you enjoying Edinburgh?
I'm loving Edinburgh. Yes. I'm loving it. This is such a... Everybody's so friendly
and
here.
This is your first one, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, my very first time here.
Oh, no, everybody is very friendly to your face. It's behind your back.
No,
you
that's
need
what
to
I...
Watch.
Yeah. That's the perfect thing. I'm the same way, so I feel right at home.
No people great, are. It's great.
Yeah.
Did you know what to expect? What was your kind of expectations of what Edinburgh would be like?
You know what? Honestly, I was kind of just coming in very open-minded. Everybody I've ever met from Scotland has been really friendly, but I've always been very hesitant to like judge a country based on the people mm-hmm. that you meet on your travels because they don't necessarily like represent the place. They represent what travelers are like.
Yes. No, you know absolutely. I mean? And some of the travelers that we send abroad are quite unpleasant. Honestly.
Well, I mean, the ones that I run into were always just so friendly. So I was like, okay, I think this is going to go well, you know, especially because I've always been sort of inclined to the humor and the sensibilities of folks from, mm-hmm. you know, the UK as well. So I thought it would be a good match, and so far so good. Yeah, yeah.
Are you one of these Americans that clearly has some weird history to the 13th century in Bannockburn and all that kind of stuff? You know, when you go into like McDonald's in Times Square and you say the server can have a double quarter pounder with cheese, and they go, I'm from Scotland as well, and you think, right, okay, that's fine. Can I just have my fries and can I go? Are you one of these people that feel... Because that does happen, doesn't
Sorry,
it?
Sorry, what was the question?
You've only to fucking break wind in Tartan and suddenly they're third cousin, fourth removed.
And somebody will say, if you're from Scotland, I mean, it is literally that, oh, do you know Jean that lives in Broughty Ferry? That'll be
And
it.
I do, actually. I do know Jean. And she makes a killer tikka masala. She really does. She's famed for it. She's a swinger. Now, it's interesting with talking about identity, because your show is called Where Are You From?
Yeah.
Now, I had never heard that. I was doing a radio show with a broadcaster called Shireen Nanjiani, who is Kumal Nanjiani's cousin. Is his name Kumar? Who's the actor?
Yes. Kumar, yeah.
You know what I mean? He's a Marvel guy, I think. So Shireen was very groundbreaking in this country because she was the first woman of colour that was an anchor for news. And I remember it was something to do with someone had asked whoever the Macker, which is the poet laureate, who happened to be a woman of colour but spoke with a Scottish accent. And if I was speaking to her, I would have said, so where are you from, meaning which part of Glasgow are you from?
Yeah.
But what they meant was, where are you from, in as much as you're not indigenous to the Pollock Shaws Road, which I think is outrageous, by the way, because having rolled around the Pollock Shaws Road, anyone is indigenous to the Pollock Shaws Road. I took magic mushrooms and shat myself, but more of that later. Well, actually, that's the story. But... Do you get that a lot? You can't be American. You have to be from somewhere else. Because I just think that's ridiculous.
I mean, I do, but I'm not American. I live in Canada.
So. Canada, right. Well, God, that's even worse, isn't it?
So that's the worst. You
know what I mean, though.
Mistake me for an American. Sam's gone, but I'll tell you. They're terrible.
Oh, Sam. I think Sam's booked in for therapy.
With me.
Sam.
I think we unveiled some issues right there. You know, honestly, 100%. When you were so convincing, I'm like, maybe I have daddy issues, too.
Well, the thing, you know what I really wanted to ask him, right? And I might tweet him. If he's 26 and he's attracted to 52-year-olds, who's he pumping when he's 52? Yeah?
Oh.
Yeah? Oh, that's
good
deep
question.
Isn't it? Yeah, lube up for that one. Do you see what I mean, though?
I just love pumping as a verb. Oh. Who are you pumping?
Have you been pumped?
That's what I'm going to ask people from now on.
Interestingly, that expression, where are you from, I think it is particularly Scottish, that Scottish people always, you know, if I'm comparing it at a gig, I'll always go, oh, what's your name, where are you from?
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, but never ever crosses my mind that it would mean from another country.
Well,
just like, where are you living now?
Yeah,
where are
totally,
you from? Where
totally.
Is now?
The gutter.
Yes.
Or under the bridge.
Look at you with a callback.
Hey, but no big deal. No, thank you.
I don't care where she's from. She's funny.
She can stay.
Thanks, guys. You know what? Here's the thing. I've moved around my whole life. So the where you from story is something that's kind of traveled with me. You know what I mean? I changed 10 schools growing up. I moved a ton. And then after that, I was a flight attendant. So I was constantly in like other countries and traveling.
I can see her as a flight attendant, can't you?
Have you worn really the flight attendant?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God.
I know. People
I'm coming round. You'll really enjoy watching it with me. It's fabulous.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm ready. I'll bring the salsa.
Oh, do. We can talk about that in a moment. She chops her own tomatoes. So anyway, you were flight attendant for which airline?
So I was flying for Air Canada.
Uh-huh.
And I was doing that for over a decade. That's the thing. Like, I've always been like a very displaced human. Like, I never am where I belong. Mm-hmm. And so I get the where you from questions all the time, but it's really just quite funny for me because it's like, it just depends on where I am, what people expect as the answer. You know, like, I can say Canada when I'm abroad, but when I'm in Canada, I can't say Canada because now they want to know where, like, my background
from.
Is from. You know what I mean? And the from. And it's people ask from, but I hear the implied from.
Okay.
You know, and that's sort of, you
and
know.
And it's not partly your own kind of, because it's happened so often that you immediately go to that.
Yeah.
So is it partly that somebody might not mean that at all, but you automatically assume?
Possibly as well, you know. But I mean, and I talk about this in my show. It's not that I mind the question, you know, and I've never minded the question. It's just, it's such a complicated question to ask. answer in my case, firstly. And secondly, it's literally the question I've been asked the most in my life. If you take all the questions I've ever been asked and put them in a, you know what I mean, on one end, and then put the where you froms on the other. So I talk about this in my show about how I used to get so bored, you know, getting asked that question all the time, that I used to just make up answers. And that's kind of
and
how I got
entertain yourself with things that
just, entertain myself.
Yeah.
And so it was like, it was by accident that I kind of just became a storyteller just out of your boredom with like this imagination of a little girl who was like tired of answering the same questions over and over again.
I'm going to go very deep again. I think as a comedian as well, is it not that thing? We feel like outsiders, but we also feel that we never belong somewhere.
Totally, totally. So. You know what, Jojo, like this is going to be real cheesy, but I wrote this show trying to talk about like this idea of my identity and how it's very complicated and, you know, like how maybe we're not all made up of like labels. Maybe there's more to us than what people, you know, want to identify as. And I talk about everything. I talk about not just, you know, like race and background, but I talk about like sexual identity, about gender, about age, about all of these identifying factors. And I that idea of like that otherness, which I did, you know, kind of think that I was going to talk about. It's like this idea of like some of us don't belong and some of us are others. I realized that so many people feel that way.
Yeah.
And actually in just different, you know, maybe it's, maybe people judge you because of your age or your occupation or your gender or your sexual preferences and, you know, like who you like to pump, you know?
I'm over pumping.
Oh, we're always judging him on who he pumps.
No, I'm on a pumping hiatus at the moment.
Are you? Oh, I'm sad for you.
I'm too tired.
And I'm sad for all the people that could be being pumped by you.
They want to be pumped.
You're too handsome to not be pumping.
They might want to watch the flight attendant.
A little salsa. A little pump, a little
beef or chicken. How far did you go up? What were you promoted to? Were you like a chief purser?
Look at you with the lingo, the chief purser.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I did do all of that stuff.
I could imagine that. Mm-hmm. Did you ever get into the training? Because I would imagine that you'd be a good trainer.
They tried to get me into the training so often.
You.
Oh, no. I mean, I'd love it. Like, it was funny because in training class, look, I never planned on being a comedian. You need to know this. This was never my plan, but I was always that funny girl. And so we'd be in training class and I'd always be making people crack up. Sometimes my jokes were very inappropriate.
Oh, sounds familiar.
I'm surprised I wasn't fired for some of the shit that I said. And there was a training class. This is terrible. I shouldn't repeat this into a mic when I already regretted saying it the first time, but now it's too late. We're already there. We were doing first aid training and they were, God, what am I doing? Okay, they were doing first aid training. And we were talking about how you have to announce to the person that you're assisting, I'm a first aider, can I help you, right, before you assist them. And I said, well, what if the person's unconscious? And they said, well, if they're unconscious, it's implied consent.
Implied.
And I was like, I know some
implied consent.
And I was like, I made a Bill Cosby joke. Listen, it was a long story.
No, it's so funny.
You know, I couldn't help myself.
Yes, there was a piece in the paper not so long ago.
Bear is like covering his eyes. He's like, she seems so nice. Bear, and then this happened. We were talking about salsa and then she took a left.
So can I ask, because we'll move away from that because I was going to out someone and that could be libelous.
Well, I was out of Bill.
Guess who don't sue?
Oh, hiya. When someone dies on a plane, do you just have to throw a blanket over them?
You know what? Honestly, we never went that far, but it was, you were supposed to actually, the truth is if somebody dies, you're supposed to treat them as if they're alive because you are not trained to announce life or death. So even if you're like, if you're giving CPR and this person is clearly dead, you still have to keep giving CPR.
No, I just mean, so say someone dies, so say I'm on the plane and I've died in the seat and you don't throw a blanket on me like a budgie, so do you just pretend to give me a gin and tonic then just to keep everyone, that's what I meant.
Little for you, little for my dead homies. Oh, too soon.
I think you've had enough, sir.
Oh, what happened? He was reeking of salsa. You know? How do you make your salsa? I'm very interested.
Okay, so listen, I gotta say, I can't even take credit for the salsa. So I don't normally make salsa, but there's this lovely fruit market near where I live, and I started talking to James, the lovely man that works there. Mm. And so every time I go in there, I'm a big produce person. Really?
Are you real foods?
I love my fruit. I know, I do. I also like.
I like fruit.
I eat junk food all the time, but I can't survive without like a little, you know, fresh fruit. Anyway. So I'm in this fruit market enough that I've been here for a week, but I've gone in there maybe five times. And I saw these tortilla chips, and I was like, "Ooh, do you have any salsa here?" And he goes, "What do you mean, do we have salsa?" And I was like, "Well, like, salsa. Do you have salsa?" And he's like, "Oh, honey, I make salsa. We don't." And I'm like, "Excuse me, Mr. Hoity Toity."
So
and
this man was gay. I'm getting a vibe.
I mean, possibly.
Clearly.
Possibly.
Clearly.
But then he went on. He's like, "Do you want me to show you?" And I was like, "Yeah." So he got me all these ingredients. And so then I went back, and I was my flatmate and I was making the salsa, and he comes in, and at this point he's like four Hennessy's deep, and he's like, but he's a really, really good cook, and he goes, "Can I give you a hand?" I'm like, "Sure." And he grabs out soy sauce, and I wanted to slap him, but I let him go ahead, and he put soy sauce in there and all seasoning spice, and I'm like, "What is happening?" I put a can of tomatoes, and then I chopped up onions, jalapenos, and garlic. And then I had this moment, you know, I don't know, maybe he inspired me with the soy sauce, and I was like, "Okay, we can do anything we want. You know, let's not limit ourselves to James's recipe." And I put apricots in there, you guys.
Oh, wow. And that's honestly, very Moroccan.
It was so good. I'm like, right now, just I ate so much of the salsa. I feel like I'm going to have an ulcer from the acid.
It's ironic. The guy that owns the fruit shop is fruit that sleeps with fruit that handles fruit. I mean, that's fruit thrice. That's a commitment to being a fruit.
I just wanted to check some of the technical things here. Where did he show you how to make this salsa?
He
explained it to me in the shop and helped me gather the ingredients.
I got that you went back to a flat vibe, and I thought, God, you'd like a risk.
No, don't judge the guests by your very low standards. She was with a lovely homo who was trying to get her five a day, and she went back with it. Did you not hear he was four Hennessy's in? I've been paying attention.
Thank you.
What was the mixer?
Was that?
Was there a mixer, or was he just having them neat, the Hennessy's?
Oh, he drinks his Hennessy neat. I was having rum and Cokes, because...
In the shop.
No. God, we've left the shop.
The dementia's kicking in again.
The
shop. It's this JoJo.
I'm confused.
Do you know where you are?
Not really.
The shop has gone under because of the cost of living crisis. Okay. That's how old this anecdote is now. The man is homeless and in recession. Oh, jeez. I mean, I like a laugh, but honestly, it's too much, isn't it?
That's
Do
wonderful.
You discuss recipes and hints and tips and things in the show?
No, I don't. I really should.
I feel you should.
I should do a whole show on it. I have so many good tips and tricks. Like, okay, can I tell you a really
Please
good one
do.
That saved somebody's life once?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Not the person on the plane that was dead.
No, not that dead guy.
we've
he
moved
had
on.
It coming. He wouldn't take his headsets off, I'm just saying. You know, that's
little
bitch. Terrible. No, I told some friends of mine that, you know, when you cook spicy food, yeah? If you ever get, because I do this, I've got very big eyes. Things get into them a lot, right? Yeah. So I get spice in my eyes all the time. Like, I'll be sometimes like cutting a jalapeno and it'll like squirt in my eye. And you're like, oh God, this is not pleasant, right? But the best way to counter something spicy is a dairy product, right?
Yep.
So if you're ever eating very spicy food, you can eat yogurt with it.
Drink milk.
If you're ever got like a chili in your eye because you rubbed your eye after eating hot wings, you can just dab a cloth and some milk and put it up against your eye. It instantly removes the pain.
Oh, okay.
So a friend of mine, Camille, calls me one day and she goes, "Aaliyah, your dairy spice tricks saved me." And I was like, "Oh yeah, what happened?" She's like, "Well, I was with my boyfriend."
Oh no.
And we had made fajitas that night, right? We have a theme. We have like a fajita and salsa theme. So she's like, "We made fajitas," and I didn't realize because I chopped up these jalapenos, and later on, after a few sangrias, we went.
Oh.
And she goes, and I went down on him, and his dick was like on fire. And she's like, and I ran to the kitchen, and I grabbed a pot of yogurt and dipped it in there. Saved his life. And I'm like, I am a champion. Like, I need to share these
tricks
with people.
Oh my God, a round of applause.
Absolutely.
Guys, honestly.
Oh, saving the world one cock at a time.
One cock at a time.
What a fabulous solution.
I'm out here doing my part. That's all I'm saying. If anybody, you know, I want like a Good Samaritan badge for this or something. You know, so I can explain to people, what did you do? I saved a dick. I saved a man's dick
God,
that was on fire.
God, you're like Goop. You're Gwyneth Sight, but for an alternative lifestyle. Fabulous. What time are you on and where, my darling?
I'm at the Tron at 7:40 p.m. every night, except for the 15th. I have one day off. But 7:40 every night at the Tron. And come to my show. I'm so proud of it. I'm really excited to share it with people.
Cool. Yeah.
And the show is called, just for the listeners?
The show is called Where You From From.
And you are from this podcast to your show, bitch, with hints and tips for saving genitalia.
Got you, baby.
Oh, marvelous. Can we have a round of applause?
Hey.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Oh, lovely
so
to meet you, Dom.
I know.
Right.
Oh, it's that time again.
We've got one left.
We've got one left.
I dealt with this on Saturday.
Oh, have you already had to deal with her?
I've had to deal with it. It was late. There's a surprise. I genuinely didn't know who was coming on. I went, I don't know who it is. All I heard was, it's Ken Dodd. And then at the end, he went, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for your host, Julian Cleary. So can we have Patrick Monaghan? Oh, wearing sky blue. Come on. There we go.
Oh, the ages.
So long. Do you know the reason why I'm late? Do you know the reason why I'm late? Because I had my penis in a pot of yogurt and I was like trying to wash it for about 10 minutes.
Was it one of those Activia yogurts?
Yeah, one of that Activia yogurts. And I just, you know, actually, to be honest, it was a Muller Rice, so I had to wait to put the mix in. And I went through about 12 of them. I just thought, you know what, just keep doing
at
it.
At least it wasn't the ones with the Rice Krispies.
Yeah.
Because you've got those all by yourself. Oh, don't
it would look
natural.
Like I've got monkeypox.
Oh,
you
my
imagine?
God, it's everywhere.
It is everywhere. Are well, you I worried? Don't have it.
Yeah, but you're
not a gay or bisexual man. Patrick's both.
Absolutely. I think the last time I saw you was in a tent in Aberdour or something.
Oh, yeah, do you remember?
It?
Oh, my goodness. That was in, Fife. Was it
In Fife somewhere.
Aberdour
Comedy Festival. Oh. Those are two words that don't go together.
Yeah, before we were coming up to the Edinburgh Festival, because that's what you need, don't you? If your show's not ready, what you need to do is come and do your last show in a field with a tent where it's not soundproofed with 500 people who have been absolutely hammered.
All day,
they were drinking all day.
And it'll really give you confidence boost.
Yeah, exactly. Here's my show. And then they were just throwing chairs. And it was a good gig, though.
It was
apart
right.
Apart from the violence.
And the occasional stabbing.
That seems to follow you around.
Yeah, exactly.
Violence and the police.
Do you know, I have never been in trouble with the police since I did a gig with this man on the train, right, with Bruce. And ever since then, I constantly the police.
Which wasn't my fault.
No, it wasn't your fault at all.
That really was. Joking aside, and I've discussed this previously. So long short, I was doing a promo gig on a train, and it's all to do with a dwarf, and I'm going to say that, and I stand by that, who's a nasty woman. And there was a lawyer, and there was a group of law students, and everything. It was advertised, this is a promo thing for our festival, right?
Yeah.
If you don't want to be in here, go to the other bar car. Right? So anyway, I got up, whatever, was speaking to these law students and their law professor. All I'd say to one was, oh, thank goodness I'm not the only other Jesse here. I'm normally the only fag on tour. And they tried to do me for aggravated and sustained homophobic abuse under a Section 5 public order. But in England, because they knew if they did that in Scotland, that would be thrown out because they were trying to say it was a breach of the peace. But I had to go to Carlisle. I had to be fingerprinted.
No.
I had to have a lawyer, seriously. Madness. And the guy went like that to me. He went, right, I'm not being funny. And I thought, have you ever? And he went like that, I've never heard of you. And I went, well, bitch, I've never heard of you. Hurry up. But the funny thing was, that was a whole hour, because he went, do you play Sabutio with yourself? Is that something you said? And I said,
what?
Football? No, I said, I did ask a woman if she flicked her own bean. If you're getting that wrong. But then we all made friends and they drove us to Marks and Spencer's and me and Julianne got loads of rosé wine because we're very straight acting and then went to a Fringe launch. But that was horrendous.
Do you know what? The police called me in, so I had to go in when I went back down to London. And then I had to go to King's Cross Police Station. I didn't even know there was a police station there. And the woman, the police lady, interviewed me all about this, exactly what you're doing. She was actually really nice. And when I was chatting to her, she was really interested in the comedy. And I was telling her about you, and she was going, this is absolutely mental. So hang on. He's He's gay. And I said, yeah, yeah. So what's the problem? And I was going, yeah, yeah, exactly. He's not being homophobic. How could he be homophobic? He's doing that. And then I was telling her all about what happened. And then she went, oh, he sounds really funny. I'll have to go watch him. I said, yeah, yeah, exactly. I said, he's good. I said, it was
a shame she couldn't make it today. But, you know, before the end of the month.
Building your audience.
Just a huge waste of time because someone that didn't like me thought, no, go and do that. Because the interesting thing was I got a glowing report for that show the next day. And then 2 weeks later, staff had changed their stories. So I'm not necessarily sure, but I do know what had gone on. But we'll leave it there. It was a long time ago. But you just kind of think, God, I was only going to my work.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't that because when the police got in touch with me, she went, you're being accused of being homophobic. And I went, oh, bitch, please. I'm really tired. This is ridiculous.
True, yeah.
But if you think, because John Hastings was interviewed, you were interviewed.
Right, yeah.
It was just such a huge waste of time.
It's surreal, though, isn't it? You, when you're in a situation like that, just going, has everybody lost their minds? What are we actually doing here?
Yeah.
I have to say, it was in the run-up to my 40th birthday, and I was really, really stressed about it. Really stressed. Because although I knew I hadn't done anything wrong, you know, my mum's 82. She doesn't need to hear her homosexual son that she barely tolerates as being homophobic to other people. You know, she brought me up to be a nice girl. Anyway, Patrick, your show.
Listen, on behalf of Bruce, there was nothing wrong with that. It was very good homophobic. I mean, the racist stuff, the sexist stuff, that was terrible.
What can you do? What can you do? Could you say I'm joking again just for the listeners? Just,
sorry, joking again.
That's fine.
I'll see you at King's Cross Police Station.
Actually, sorry. Just
I'm at King's Cross for different reasons.
Talking of joking, so these are my soon-to-be son-in-law's parents.
Oh, brilliant.
Gareth Much's mum and dad.
Yeah.
Now, Rob has a little tourist story about you that I'm going to... that you were doing a gig at some point somewhere in the TV ad, and you had something about the posh people feed their horses cornetos. Do you remember that?
Wow. The dogs.
Open dogs.
Yeah.
Feed the dogs cornetos.
Wow. That is yours. I can't even remember the whole thing. But yeah. Oh.
I set my sister up.
Yes.
She looked posh, and I thought you might go to her.
Yeah.
And I said, say cornetos.
So
sorry,
yes, so
are
came
you
with a punchline. Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Interlopers. It's all happening.
Yeah, we're all here.
Yes. So yes. I think you go to the audience, and he'd already primed her, and then she gave you the answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. And so, I can't even. I was.
You can't remember the joke.
Wow. But I can't remember the joke. But I remember it was like because they're so posh, aren't they? Where they were, and it was. Yeah. Can you remember it? It was something about when because it was a true story I'd seen in the park. Come on. And it was about where, when your dog was thirsty or whatever in the hot weather, and they said, oh, I'll normally give it whatever, you know, you'll give it like put some ice cubes in the water, and the posh people would just bring out cornettos or whatever, and I've seen some people bringing out like magnums. Here's a magnum gold for the dog or whatever like that. Not realising dogs can't have chocolate, but yeah. Wow, well done. Mm-hmm. I need you to come and do my show for me.
I might do the jokes. Show.
Oh, I'm at Just a Tonic, 8 o'clock in just up the road on the Cowgate. So like I've been at Gilded for years, guys, and then this year we're at the Tonic. I love it on the Cowgate. It's crazy, isn't it?
It's such a good atmosphere down there. I mean, when the Gilded was down there, it was a different beast again.
Oh, but well, do you remember? I've done that Caves. This is how old I am. We're talking about. I was here. I remember doing this festival when this was all just fields. I was here back in the 50s. And it was like, I remember doing Cowgate.
You were the farmer.
Yeah, I was the farmer. It was literally just me. It was just me.
Farmer Miriam.
Me, one farmer, three pots of yogurt, two dogs and a Cadbury's Cornetto. That was what... Them were the good days of the festival.
Well, I know.
Ruined now by commercialisation, isn't it?
How many festivals have you done?
God, I've done loads. I first came up because I didn't even know what the festival was. When I started in 2000s, and literally just did a couple of gigs, and I was down south, I was in London, and everyone kept going, are you going up to Edinburgh? I said, well, what's happening in Edinburgh? I was like, what? No, why were you going to Edinburgh for? It was someone having a party, what's happening? And everyone go, oh no, there's stuff. And nobody explained it. They just went, oh, we just go to Edinburgh. So I didn't know what Edinburgh, and I couldn't afford to pay for a train ticket to come to Edinburgh. Everyone went to come up to Edinburgh in August. So I just got loads of gigs because I was in London then. I thought, there's no comics. There's about a million gigs, but there's no comics. And then I didn't realise up here, there's a million comics.
That's where all
the comics are. So the following year, 2001, I came up and it was a competition They don't do anymore. Do you remember the Daily Telegraph? Do you remember the
Telegraph?
And the ITV one. Sure, there was.
I came on the mic or something. What was the mic?
That was it. Take the mic. The ITV one, and then the Daily Telegraph.
Or Karen Cockfield one. Take the mic.
Yes.
And where is she now?
Karen, do you remember Karen?
But John Scott
won it 1 year as well.
Oh, really?
Yes, John Scott won it.
Do you remember Karen?
Yeah, what she was lovely. Yeah, I can't remember. Do you know what? I think I might have bumped into her about 10 years ago, again, back probably near where the caves were. Oh. But I think she's lovely, Karen. I don't know if you've ever seen. Yeah.
Oh, was she?
Who, Karen Cockfield?
When you won it? Well, it was £15,000 or something, wasn't it?
Show Me the Funny was... So what they did was... Everyone was going, oh, my God, it's great. You get the DVD, you get $100,000 or whatever, you get all this thing, but it was all tied in. So basically what would happen is you get the money, but the problem was... The DVD was part of that deal where they take all that, so they take the royalties. Not that I'm, but I mean, I would have done it anyway for $1,000, or I would have done it for £500. It was a laugh, wasn't it? Mm. Good exposure, and you just get to go to different places. And it was so funny because on that show, I mean, look, you'd have had a right laugh on that show. This is what they went at this time. We're going to take you to 6 tough gigs. Yeah. These were the challenges. One of them was like playing to nurses. One was like at schools, whatever. One was the army, and I thought. We've done worse gigs. One was rugby. Go and do a gig on a Friday night in Glasgow Jonglers. That would have been
exactly.
rougher, wouldn't it? These gigs, they were all like... Yes. These gigs that we did were actually quite nice. They had a couple of drinks each. They're only allowed to have 2 drinks. And everyone was...
It's a CSE gig, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And they're so well behaved because there's cameras on them, so they're not going to start...
But that's the thing, because Glasgow Jonglers was notoriously rough, and I did tell you one Christmas some guy tried to finger me.
What?
Like, seriously... We were standing, honestly, no. I was standing waiting for the interval, right? The next thing, I felt a hand come down and then I was digitally probed.
What?
And I just turned around and I said, whoever that is, I'm about to pick up a glass and slam it into your face. And he went, oh, I thought because you were gay, it was okay.
What?
I went, do you know what? Off and I'm yeah seriously.
Well, because I remember with
if
the
you want to stand up, I can recreate. No.
That is crazy.
That's awful.
Yeah,
because I remember speaking to Jo Caulfield about it, and she went, "My God, if that was a woman, the police would have
been called." Of course,
the last thing I wanted to do was be in there longer than I was being paid. It was a hellhole. The money was good for a reason. Because it genuinely was danger money, particularly with those Christmas gigs. There was a reason you were paid £600.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember them Christmas gigs? Look, the rest of the year, some of them gigs weren't so bad, but at Christmas time, and again, we've all done. You've probably seen them. It was
Carnage.
Yeah, I've never seen amazing. Like you know, you get to see like these actually people who've been going who are bulletproof. We call them bulletproof on the set. You know, like your Jeff Innocence or your
Mike Gunn,
and it was the other guy, Christian Riley, with the guitar. They're bulletproof whenever it happens. And at Christmas, it was hilarious. I've never seen anything like it, where there's massive 400 people. You couldn't even see right to the back of the room. And the people aren't even facing the right way. You're walking in, they're throwing potatoes at each other's, and you bring it. And then each of these acts comes on. Just you might as well stand at a bus stop and do your set. You go, I'm getting more of a reaction here.
That was the thing, that you would go on, and they would like kind of be dying in the front row, like genuinely choking on their own vomit and all this kind of stuff. And it really was just, it was howling and pissing in the wind. Patrick, we have barely even covered your show. Where are you on again?
So
tell the people.
I am at Just the Tonic, up the road.
8 o'clock.
Eight o'clock.
What's it called? What's it called?
And it's called Classy. So classy.
So with a Y, not with an ecstasy tablet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, not with
a... Oh,
I love
drugs
JoJo. The way JoJo
I hope we're not shut with down
not
by
with
the police.
Not with
Patrick, thank you for joining us. A pleasure as always. Mr. Patrick
JoJo.
Monaghan!
Good to see you guys. Thank you.
Well, there we go. Well, that's us for another day. I'll see you tomorrow.
I will see you tomorrow. Yes. Well,
have a good
crossed.
Show.
Fingers crossed. Thank you, Sodo. Too. Bye, bye, bye.
Thank you. Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.